Lisa and Pete would love to give you $5,000 to go travelling with. However, the best they can do is this podcast. But if you buy land with LWP, you'll score a $5,000 travel voucher. Find out more at lwppropertygroup.com.au.
The album Descent is this weekend. Rosalie Evans did her first one at 45 in 1997. Been in just about every single one of them since. She joins us now on Lisa and Pete. Are you pumped? Are you ready to go, Rosalie?
I wish I was more pumped. Just sadly, water is a huge problem for us this year. The worst we've ever seen it. 2010 was low, but the paddlers did the whole course that year. This year, it'll be a shortened course even for paddlers.
Yes, it's actually been announced that 50 kilometres is being cut off because of a lack of rain. How dangerous does it make it, Rosalie, if there's no water?
It's a tricky one. Low water at this level is way less dangerous than, you know, a metre and a half of water for sure. Once you get more water, there's less thinking time. You know, you've just got to really be on your game. Mm-hmm. With this, it's just exhausting. I did the tea trees on Saturday and we were in and out of our boats all the time. There's logs you would normally go over. These you've got to get up and climb over and then get back into your boat. There's the long pools, we call them, where they're just basically sand. Right. So you're looking for a bit of a water channel, but you're in and out, and that's exhausting.
You're carrying your canoe half the time.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's not much of a race, is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, 124 kilometres of that, could you imagine? No. Far out.
It's
now,
tough.
You're obviously confident and accomplished, but do you think back to the first ever Avon Descent that you did and you just think to yourself, wow, I've come such a long way?
Absolutely. I had never even sat in a boat up until the March of that year. And my girlfriend suggested we did some paddling. She'd been paddling for about 12 months. And then once the course had finished, she sort of a throwaway line, oh, we should do the Avon Descent. And I actually said to her, but don't you have to know how to paddle? She said, no, we'll be fine. Well, I've got to say, it became an obsession. Mm-hmm. We paddled every day. We had a whiteboard about what we were eating and when we were eating it, mm-hmm. and it became crazy. But when we finished that in 16 hours and 40 minutes, we could have run up Mount Everest. We thought we were so amazing.
You were. You are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what the oven does for you.
So it's actually quite, you know, achievable by most people. It's a good
achievable way to by anybody.
Have a win for yourself.
You say yourself that anybody can be an Avon Descenter. I mean, personally, I think I'd be an Avon Disaster, but by the sounds of things, it actually just sounds like a good time.
Look, the part of the Avon that I especially love is that lead up to the Avon.
Mm-hmm.
You head up to 2J with a group, with boats on your car, and your heart's beating, you know, when the water's high and you get in, it's such an adrenaline. You finish off, you go and have, you know, coffee and food at the Gidgee Bakery on the way down, and you're all just hanging out.
That's fabulous. This weekend is going to be as hard as any by the sounds of it with the lack of water. What should people who are signed up in the race do between now and the weekend to keep an eye on things and make sure it's all going
ahead? Look, there's
not
a lot. What we're finding in the office is that there's a lot of changing of craft.
Yeah,
and we've really relaxed the rules as the organisers. So we're allowing, you know, singles to go into teams or doubles, or just change from a composite boat to a plastic boat. Just like, not anything goes, but just we are aware of how difficult this is going to be.
Well, look, it's going to be an amazing weekend. Thank you so much for coming in here and for catching up with us and chatting to us a little bit. And seriously, we will be there, like, just cheering you on from the sidelines.
Good luck.
You go,
thank
girl,
you.
Get another one.
Thank you. My pleasure, and thanks for the opportunity.
In the style of James Brayshaw from The Footy Show, the great man Billy Brownless is here, everybody.
G'day, guys.
Hello.
How are we?
Good, good. I mean, admittedly, good. We're copping it a little bit here in the West.
Good
at the
being the key word, I guess. Good.
Yes. Over the booing?
Mate, yeah.
Yes.
We'd love to get your thoughts on it, you know. I mean, what's the talk over there where you are in Melbourne at the moment?
Oh, look, it's been going on for a while, the booing, and that's the thing, and, you know, it'd be interesting. He plays down in Geelong. Geelong plays Sydney down at Simmons Stadium in a couple of weeks, and I dare say it'll happen again. But it was what Adam actually said, and, of course, Lewis Jetta after the game, who normally doesn't say anything. He's pretty shy, and you never hear from Lewis. And he had a few words to say, you know. And then, of course, Adam come out and said how disappointed he was. So I think it's catching up with him. He's had enough of it. Now, I don't know how it stops, because I'm not sure, is it racist, or two, is it because someone starts booing and then they start booing next to him and then the next bloke starts booing, and all of a sudden everyone's booing, you know, and they don't really know what they're booing for.
Just to sort of fill us in for the uninitiated like myself, why were they booing? I came into the game late and I thought, oh my God, West Coast Eagles fans are booing someone. That usually makes them spill their Chardonnay. I didn't think they did that. But, you know, why? I assumed Adam Goods had done something, but apparently he hadn't.
No, he hadn't. And it's been going on all year, really. But I think it's just because he's a public leader of his community, people, but also Australian of the Year. Some people don't like some of the things he said over that trip. And some of it's the way he plays, you know, and he is coming towards the end of his career. So, yeah, we don't really know. No one really knows why people boo, you know. It was loud. I remember it was.
Yeah,
I was watching it on the TV, and and I wasn't there at the game, obviously, but it was. I could hear it on, you know, coming through the TV.
I almost feel like pulling out the race card is a little bit cheap right now when it comes to this, because I don't want to see that being brought in, because Lewis Jeddah did the same dance in support of him, but the Eagles supporters did not boo Lewis Jeddah. I think if it was a racism thing, they would be booing just about every Indigenous player that played the game. But I just don't get the feeling it's a racism thing. I think especially since the Indigenous round, Adam Goods took himself to another level and he became even more of a polarising figure and made himself a bit of a target to the crowds in the game.
Yeah. Look, and Adam obviously did the spear thing too up there in Sydney. And look, I don't think that helps the situation, by the way, and probably didn't help Lewis doing it on the weekend either. But I don't know what it is. That's the thing. And no one can really tell. And Gillon McLachlan's got on the front foot, of course, the boss of the AFL today. He's had a bit of a crack at about it too, because he's had enough of it and things like that. So, one, we don't really know how it started and why it started, and two, I don't know how you stop it.
Right, do you think there's any place for booing in general in football, Billy?
Yeah, of course there is. Of course there is.
Yes!
Can we all get booed, mate? But that's one of the great... And surely you're allowed to go and boo, but it's normally if a player's decked another player...
Or if they're Collingwood.
Yeah. But there is booing. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. We all get booed now and then. But right. It doesn't happen every game and every state. It's just continued on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens down at Geelong in a couple of weeks.
Mm. All right. Good on you, Billy. Your biote. A pleasure, right, mate. Hey, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Billy.
All right.
It won't happen at Geelong. They share their thermos with you at Geelong. They are the nicest supporters in the world.
Well, I don't know. It remains to be seen yet. Tell us about your pet's great escape after the great escape happened at the zoo and orangutan got loose on the weekend, which,
it
by the way, everybody.
It was a funny picture.
It was a hilarious picture. Great footage.
And it all ended well.
They
she
did
just
get
got
him
back in again.
Yep. We've got Quinn in Balladura. Hello, Quinn.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Good.
What escaped, Quinn?
Okay. It's not as good as the orangutan, but I had a smart kelpie.
Yes.
And I used to tell it off because it used to pull the washing off the line and do a few naughty things, so... We'd send it outside, lock the back door, naughty boy in the corner. Anyway, he used to dig a hole under the side gate and he'd come around the front, knock on the front door for him to come in.
That's awesome. I love how they're doing it just to stick it into you a little bit. They don't want to, like, get away or anything. It's just check it out. I can get out, mate.
He just wanted to come inside and play with a human.
Yeah, good one. Thanks, Quinn.
See you,
no worries, mate.
We got Karen in Nolamara. Hello, Karen.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Karen, who's your escape artist?
German short-haired pointer and a Rottweiler. Only both of them got into the neighbour's paddock.
Yes.
Killed some chickens, but the German short-haired pointer was skinny enough and smart enough to get back under the fence and come back home and sit there like she'd done nothing.
leaving
her rotty sister to take the blame. The only way we knew that she'd done it as well, there was the odd feather on her.
We shouldn't laugh.
She forgot to look in the mirror and check herself.
But that was awful because we just couldn't understand how the Rottweiler could get under in the first place because she just wasn't smart enough.
She had a German pointer behind her, giving her a push.
Well, she had a big dumpty-doo body and she just got stuck over there and she took the blame, but we knew it was both of them because both had feathers.
Oh, they egg each other on, don't they?
They do.
Thanks,
so that
Karen.
Was my great escape. Not a problem.
Thanks, Karen. Let's go to Sian in Morley. Hello, Sian.
Hey, Sian.
Hey, how you going?
Good.
What escaped?
So I have pet rats.
Yes.
And one day we had two sets of rats. We had one cage of girl rats and we had one cage of boy rats.
Oh, now, are they that bad, are they? Yeah. Okay, right.
They're very crafty when they're looking for love. So we had them at opposite ends of the house, and one of the girls actually managed to squeeze out through her bars.
Oh.
So all the way down the hallway. Now, we had a cat at the time who ignored them. All the way down the hallway, under a door, into the boys' cage, and we ended up with 10 rat babies.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness, the little hussy. Yeah. Wow, that is a classic.
She was very determined.
And this is what I love about cats. The cats just ignored it because they thought, nah, this is going to get better. This is going to be a show.
They'll learn their lesson.
Thank you, Sian. That's what can happen when they escape.
That's unreal.
With a $5,000 travel voucher from LWP, you could go pretty much anywhere in the world. Better yet, you can take this podcast of Lisa and Pete with you. Find out more at lwppropertygroup.com.au.